In the studio with me this evening is Ensemble Theatre Cincinnati's Lynn Myers to talk about the upcoming production of Ethel Waters' His Eyes on the Sparrow, a play about the legendary singer, actress, and performer. Later this week, you'll be able to see Lynn's production of a show exploring Waters' life, portrayed by actress Tori Wiggins. So, Lynn, it's been a while since Ethel Waters was a current figure in people's lives. So tell us a little bit about who she was.
Well, she broke through from an incredibly difficult beginning. She rose up on her own two feet, as she put it, from a life of abandonment, poverty, abuse, married at 13, rose to be quite the headliner on vaudeville, and then broke from that into concerts, then broke from that into films, broke back to Broadway. She shattered every barrier that came her way and did not do it with anything but sheer talent and absolute tenacity.
And she had so much to overcome. You mentioned she was married off when she was 13. Right. Ethel was the product of a 12-year-old.
That's right.
So, from the very beginning, she had this horrendous childhood. Mm. And then her life was full of all these incidents of racial injustice and that sort of thing.
Well, and just sheer anger and meanness and need and want. And, she had to keep making these choices between horrible and terrible. And, it's fascinating to see how somebody can triumph. And we look at her through a pretty, like a 50-year period of her life. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating because it's also the life of the country. And it isn't simply a play about just her, but it's also about the evolving emotions and where we're still evolving as a nation. And I can't help but think with the Me Too movement that's happening and with, as we come up soon, celebrating the centennial of the beginning of the women's movement, I just wanted to bring some powerful, uncelebrated hero to the stage. And she certainly is that.
Well, you talked about, just briefly, about some of her many, many accomplishments, but she also had a tendency to sort of rise and fall because she was a difficult human being many times and found it hard, if not impossible, to trust people.
Well, and comply. We spoke the other day in rehearsal about the word comply, and everybody just wanted her to comply. But a lot of times complying to stay alive was one thing, but complying to compromise what she wanted or what she thought was right was just something she wasn't going to do.
As I was doing a little bit of research for this and reading about her life, I discovered that she did a television show back in the early 50s, which I vaguely remember since I was growing up in that era, called Beulah, in which she played a very caricatured black woman. And she apparently quit that job before the series ended. It was on for 3 years or so.
Right.
And she said, I'm not going to keep doing this ridiculously stereotyped
thing. That's what she did. She did.
Again, people trying to make her comply.
And she stood up and said, I'm not going to do mammy roles and servant roles. And she indeed didn't. Mm-hmm. They rewrote Cabin in the Sky for her. Mm-hmm. Of course, Member of the Wedding on Broadway. She was nominated for an Academy Award. Hattie McDaniels won. And then the next nomination of an African-American woman was Ethel Waters, and she didn't win. But when she got into a place where her principles and her integrity were thrown on the line, that's when she held the line.
Well, some people might recall her from her days with the Billy Graham Crusade. Mm-hmm. And that's actually where this story sort of begins on stage, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So you want to talk a little bit about how the play works? We should say it is a one-woman show.
It's a one-woman show with Scott Woolley, who is not a one-woman show, but Scott Woolley doing magnificent accompaniment. Yes. So there is a lot of music in the show.
Yeah.
And Scott's on stage the whole time. And of course, Tori and Scott have worked together many times before.
Yeah.
So I did really look for a piece that they could do together. Uh-huh. And this is a great opportunity. Uh-huh. And Scott actually have done the show before, not here. So it's been wonderful to have him in the room. But it starts in our version of her arriving in a revival tent, and essentially she unpacks her life before us. Mm. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. I consider the tent a sanctuary. At least that's how I look at it. So I love Brian's design. And this just all sort of unfolds for us. There's not a mission. It's not preachy. We're not, you know, doing a revival. But it does start and end with that sense of his eyes on the sparrow. And how she came to be with Billy Graham later in her life is fascinating. And he was absolutely tireless in his pursuit, having her join his crusade. And, you know, now that he's passed, and of course, Ethel Waters has been gone a long time, I think it's a really interesting look at an extremely unique friendship between people who couldn't have been more different.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a rough road that had a fairly decent ending.
Mm-hmm. Well, perhaps we should say that the title of the show, His Eyes on the Sparrow, mm-hmm. is a hymn that she mm-hmm. became known for singing on the Billy Graham Crusade
and
events.
And through her life, that was a very pivotal song from her grandmother, who was much more of a mother to her than her mother.
Yes.
It was also a pivotal thing from her grandmother's grandmother. I mean, it was passed down. So that was in her bones. And indeed, Billy Graham said to her that he wanted her with his crusade from the very first time he ever heard her sing that song.
I was reading the script by Larry Parr, who's mm-hmm. the playwright, and in it he said that the play should not be seen as a faithful representation of her life, but rather as a theatricalized version of the myth of Ethel Waters. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, I think that's a really beautiful introduction to the play, but I think what he is saying through what he's written is this is all based on reality. Mm-hmm. It's just we've had to condense some things. You meet, you know, one husband, and it's a very, very important part of her life, but there were other relationships. You know, you see a couple different times when she was really under attack and how she resolved that. You know, there's three massive books of autobiography, biographies of her, which have been great resource material. So I think what Mr. Parr's done is created a really wonderful enclosed sort of envelope of who she was and what she did without making it be fact, 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 fact. It's all true, but it may not be linear.
She really is a fascinating person, as you mentioned. She sang an Academy Award-nominated song in Cabin in the Sky.
Yes.
And then she was nominated for an Academy Award in a film called Pinky in 1949 that was directed by Elia Kazan.
Yes.
I mean, she really mingled with the greatest performing artists of her era. And she also did things like perform at the Cotton Club.
Right. Yeah. Harlem became her home. I mean, once she got out of Philadelphia and didn't keep getting pulled back in, Harlem was her home of choice, and she headlined there. I mean, that was a huge part of her life. And certainly, Kazan was definitely a replacement. Mm-hmm. He replaced a man that she did not see eye to eye with, and mm-hmm. she had enough power in the industry that when people didn't see eye to eye with her, a lot of times she won. It took her 30 years to get to that point.
Yes.
But we also have to remember that, you know, she started performing when she was 12 and 13 years old.
So you've got these two performers mm-hmm. on stage, Tori Wiggins, Scott Woolley. Can you tell us a little bit more about their interaction and how that plays out, how they tell the story?
You know, it's a beautiful connection between the music and the moment and the emotion. And Scott can feel Tori's slight shifts and changes every time we go through the play. They are certainly a beautiful underscore map that the play demands that he's able to execute. But I think the connection is much stronger than what an audience might hear and see.
And they're not having dialogue with one another.
No, he is the music of the play.
Mm-hmm.
And he's live and he's there and he starts us and finishes us. But there's an amazing connection between an extraordinary accompanist, pianist, musical director, which Scott Woolley is, and a phenomenal actress, which Tori Wiggins, so that there's a rhythm and there's an understanding. And just by the way, Tori might turn a phrase, on any given performance you see, it's going to come a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no chit-chat between them. There's no dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
He quite literally embodies the music of her life, which is wonderful.
In the shows that you present at Ensemble Theater, I know that you always seek productions that are going to expand your audience's understanding of
mm-hmm.
current issues. As we wrap up, do you want to say a little bit more about that with this show?
Absolutely. You know, I think I have the greatest audiences on the planet. I would challenge anybody on that because of their loyalty and their fierce openness. So when you come into a season that has Red Velvet, Eyes on the Sparrow, and Hedwig, you're seeing three very different looks at what makes somebody unique and individual. And for the audience that I love, I wanted to gift them this play so that they could actually see somebody who's an unsung hero, who triumphed. We're still trying to get her that star on the Walk of Fame, but that we could really embrace a life that was about tireless ambition and tireless faith at the end of the day. And going into Hedwig, which is also about a very strong individual, having a woman's story in there was something that I felt the audience would like, and I certainly am proud to present.
Well, in the month ahead, you will be able to hear Ethel Waters' story, His Eye is on the Sparrow. The production opens this week at Ensemble Theater, and it will continue on stage through May 19th. For more information about the show, follow the link that you'll find at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I've been talking with director Lynn Myers about this upcoming production. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.
So I sing because I'm happy.